I'm Jay.
And I'm B.
And this is a joint. This is a joint.
And we're gonna smoke it now. A joint endeavor here.
That is the intro to one of the most notorious episodes of Rocks, episode 59. Jay and B get baked. Jay and B, that's Joe Nickel and Bart Everson, go on to smoke what at least looks like marijuana outside the Monroe County Courthouse. This is in 1994. They also interview the police chief, and a guest advises viewers how to avoid getting busted by the cops. And of course, they do smoke some more.
Gosh, here I sit with this bowl filled with this great marijuana. And you know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to smoke it.
Now, if you have any marijuana in your own home, we can only encourage you to do the same.
J&B Get Baked was clearly a treat for some viewers, and the wellspring of distress for others. The director of the Governor's Commission for a Drug-Free Indiana accused J&B of, quote, the overt promotion of anarchy, an accusation they would, of course, go on to flaunt as a badge of honor. The show was all produced using taxpayer-purchased equipment at Bloomington Community Access Television in the Monroe County Public Library.
It was always entertaining and pretty much always a pain in my ass.
Michael White is the longtime director of what's now known as Community Access Television Services, or CATS. White found himself playing the role of both accomplice and censor. For instance, a segment in Episode 7.
It was called Coprophagia Corner. It was basically people that receive sexual gratification through involvement in sort of excretory function. They printed out a picture they had found on the internet of a woman sitting atop a man's head, excreting.
And you can probably see where this is going. White decided the image had to be blacked out, but he did go before a library review panel to argue that J&B's descriptions of coprophagia were protected speech and should play on television. This is on the same channel with city council meetings and religious programs.
You know, I'm at sort of loggerheads with these people with MLSs, Master of Library Science, who really specialize in this. And in the meantime, I believe that show ran with this kind of screed from J&B just about what idiots we were for not allowing, you know, pooping into the man's mouth on local television. So when I describe them as being a pain in the ass, they were damn good at it.
Bart Everson began his tenure at CATS doing community service after he got busted streaking across the IU campus. When he and Nickel started producing Rocks in 1992, it was just two 20-somethings sitting in their basement talking about their original theme, which was mixed drinks. Everson's co-worker, Wade Powell, stumbled on the show by chance one night.
I approached Bart the next day at work, and I said, hey, I saw you on TV. And he said to me, you know, that was pretty cool. We got some really cool stuff planned for the next episode. I just thought, episode? What episode? It was just you and this guy in the basement just talking about stuff and getting drunk. Who knew, you know?
As Rocks became more popular, Everson and Nickel began taking the library's cameras out of the basement. They filmed themselves and their friends mixing drinks on the Tulip Trestle in Greene County, getting kicked out of the Seminary Square Kroger, and lighting birthday candles in a urinal on the IU campus.
We're going to put out the flame by flushing.
They attracted attention beyond Bloomington, partly because they were pioneers in distributing their content online. After the marijuana episode, Rocks was mentioned on MTV and The Howard Stern Show. A 1995 article in the Indianapolis Star described Rocks as equal parts slacker diary, societal satire, and improvisational theater.
I'll tell you what's going on. We had a little parade. We're about fun, we're about change, we're about anti-stagnation.
That was Christy Paxson, one of several regular characters on the show. Tangled within the antics that were shocking to many viewers, the crew of Rocks conveyed some serious goals: to portray daily life the way they really experienced it, and thus to undermine myths and norms they didn't care for.
It's not so much that the controversy is what makes the show interesting, is that we couldn't make a show that is about us and our lives without it being controversial.
Everson said that in a WTIU interview in the 90s. And almost exactly 25 years after the show first aired on CATS, the provocative mission is still alive, although the tone is different.
I wanted to begin with a little bit of context of the kind of broad social moment in which...
That's Everson. Earlier this month, he was beginning a talk at the venue Fine Arts and Gifts in downtown Bloomington.
You have traditional theists, spiritualists, and secularists.
Everson lives in New Orleans now, but he was in Bloomington promoting a new book. He speaks a little softer, and he says he's more humble than when he was first producing rocks. But his work has an underlying message that's familiar. Basically, a lot of people are getting something wrong. In this case, he's talking about what he calls atheist religion.
Frankly, a lot of people don't realize that that's a possibility, especially here in the West, where we have the dominance of Christianity, to such a point that a lot of people just think of, when they say religion, what they really mean is Christianity.
I spoke with Everson earlier this month during his visit to Bloomington. We talked on the courthouse lawn. His book is called Spinning in Place. Everson is a longtime atheist, and the book is composed of his reflections on pagan observances and the seasons, solstices, equinoxes, and what are called cross-quarter days. And like rocks, it's autobiographical. He writes about growing up in a Lutheran church in central Indiana, then aggressively rejecting religion as an adolescent, and returning to a secular spirituality in his fifth decade.
After my daughter was born, everything kind of changed for me. I wanted her to have a more well-rounded and in-depth appreciation for the variety of human experience, just what it means to be a human and alive on the planet, how people have thought about that.
Everson writes about bringing his then 2-year-old daughter to a pagan celebration of Lammas, a late July, early August holiday. He's particularly taken with the Lammas ritual of baking bread, which he says can connect the baker to history, science, culture, and nature. In general, he's an enthusiast for rituals, which he writes can help a person, quote, feel the resonance echoing through the corridors of time.
That's also, you know, part of my idea about spirituality and religion is that it can be based on the natural world, that nature is enough to kind of satisfy all the requirements for what you would call a religious or spiritual expression.
Everson's work has always been what you could call political. In Rocks, he and Nickel cover anarchism and, of course, marijuana laws. And they parody Bloomington's anti-abortion protesters with a group they call the More Life Coalition.
We demand an end to menstruation, which kills potential babies at the rate of one per month, with approximately 2 billion menstruating women in the world.
The book is less satirical, but the politics are clear and urgent.
I desperately hope that there are changes that come about from a shift in our consciousness and a shift in our spirituality. I think that establishing kind of a religious practice and a religious tradition that puts an emphasis on the earth and says that that's the prime value that we have, is living in harmony with the earth, would be huge.
Everson's creative work has drawn a variety of responses during the past quarter century. Not much money, but a good deal of high praise, enthusiasm, and in some ways admiration. Of course, there have also been what you could call more negative reactions. Probably not surprisingly, he seems to enjoy those too.
You're lucky to get a response. A lot of times, you like whisper down a well and then, you know, wait for an echo. Do you hear anything? Do you hear anything at all? A lot of times you don't, and you just keep doing it because you're driven to do it. So to get a response of any sort is always a blessing.
Everson's new book, which again is called Spinning in Place, is available on Amazon. He and Nickel are still working, very slowly, on more Rocks episodes. Number 99 has been in production for a couple years. Most of the episodes are free to watch at rocks.com. For WFHB, I'm Joe Crawford.